of these words, and I love all of them, like some of the ones that we might see as potentially threatening, but yet at the same time, remember I was just talking about this, interrupting your status quo. So one of the ones that's in the second circle says fear. So fear is an inherent part of our bodies, right? So whether it's the fight or flight. Now, we don't want to put fear or scare tactics with inside, financial planning. That's not what we're here to do. We're trying to educate. But that's not to say what the other person is feeling is fear with inside. Gosh, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know how this impacts me. I don't know what to do. So you're really trying to provoke thought, right? All of these triggers, everything that you're seeing right now can generate a lead. And it really kind of depends on where someone's at with inside their lifestyle, okay? So is it someone just getting started and just got married and maybe they're having children and, you know, maybe they need to be looking at life insurance policies, or maybe they're closer to the end and getting ready to retire. Do they, you know, from the annuity side, do they have enough guaranteed income? Right? Have they planned long enough, or do they have to work more? So how do you as a financial advisor, you know, look at those emotions and trigger those? So what I always kind of go back to is that thought leadership. What are you bringing to the table that they're going to be like, oh yeah, I want to talk to Jolly because she knows what she's talking about. So the emotional triggers are everything on this page. What we really need to look at, but how do we target them and how do we look at it? There are certain things on here that we don't want to be. We don't want to be aggressive. Like I see aggressiveness. You don't want to be annoying, right? Because those are two things that can turn people off. You want to be, you know, just like a doctor. They say a doctor should have good bedside manner. Same with a financial advisor. A financial advisor's job is to listen, right? And to listen about what the client is talking about, because being the best listener can turn into generating leads from that stance. So you have to take all of these things into consideration. And that's why when I talk about the lifestyle or the personal post, that evergreen content is still important, because that can address some of these things from the emotional side as well. Because typically when people are searching out for content, it's because they don't know where to start or what to handle and how to do it.
So two questions out of this. So probably 2 years ago, I had a situation where I share something on the LinkedIn and I was told by my boss, take it down. All right. And I think it was very important, but I think at the time, the topic was not ready to be shared. And this has something to do with financial infidelity. This has something to do with where I went out and borrowed money shamefully that I did not tell my husband about. Okay. That I think at the time, 2 years ago, that kind of materials was not ready, prime time ready. And I was basically being shut down by internal person. Mm-hmm. And today is very different. So I think timing, maybe I'm right or wrong about this, timing is one thing. The other thing that I just shared about a couple of weeks ago, I'm noticing that there are a lot of views, but very little people are checking like. And I think it's also, I'm one of those people that maybe just sharing these information too early when the market is ready. This has something to do with when you're making financial decision, you really ought to take the mental health into the consideration. Now, I think the market today, people are not necessarily ready to hear mental health because that has some sort of negative connotation. But if people actually read the article, they will realize that I'm not talking about typical mental health. I'm just trying to say that Sometimes, like me, I don't drive. Paying an Uber is probably by far better than buying a car. And so I think that perhaps there are trends of certain type of topic is good to talk about. The two example that I mentioned, maybe I'm just too early to talk about it. Would you share what your thoughts about, I don't think anyone wants to be like me, just keep making these mistakes. What do you think about what topic would be best to share?
Right. So I think like what you said, Jolly, some of the things maybe that you spoke about 2 years was what I call progressive. right? Like some of the things people are not ready to quite hear because they haven't seen it maybe in the mainstream media or whatever that is. So the way I kind of look at it is when you're looking at your social media platforms and you're looking at what you're trying to post, really take a step back and look at what your goals are. Are your goals to work on your branding, your credibility, or your thought leadership, or are your goals to generate leads? So honestly, in a perfect world, from a marketing stance, you want to do both. You want to do all of those things, okay? You want to make sure that people know who you are and have that social proof at the same time are generating the leads from that stance. So another thing that I like to look at is kind of like who you are as a brand, not just necessarily your logo and your name. Are you that fun and bubbly person that's always kind of joking around in humor? Or are you more of that kind of laid back, very conscientious of what you post? You want to have kind of that style when it comes to personality. And I was watching somebody else's webinar the other day, and they said, when you see me on this, is going to be the same thing as when you see me in person. Don't share things that don't tie back to who you are as a person, because then people are going to be like, well, why did she post that? I know she doesn't believe in that, or whatever that might be. It's an extension of you and your brand that you bring to the table. So whatever you post on social media, make it true of what you are in person, because it will go a long way. And it's whatever makes sense for you. No one else can really tell you who to be. You just have to decide what you want and then make that portrayed across all the social media platforms.
Okay, so that comes to the next interesting question there. So obviously, for some of you that are listening now, you probably know what your identity is and how you want to portray in terms of your brand. I sometimes think that in my situation, people just think that I'm just a very serious person, right? My husband oftentimes would tell me, it's Halloween time. She doesn't even need costume. She will scare people away. That's kind of seriousness that my family oftentimes tells me. So I guess one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, if someone like me, who most advisors probably are very serious, and sometimes we wanted to make sure come across that we're not snobby, we wanted to help people, we don't want to speak the lingos, how can we soften that kind of image? We're not trying to lie to people. We just want trying to be, you know, kind of shape our little rough edges. So what would you recommend there?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to, and I said this previously, people do business with people they like and they trust. So just try not to be someone else. Try to be yourself. Now, does that come into play where, you know, like Jolly said, you know, your husband thinks of you like this and your clients probably think of you like this. Like if you came in right now and had a hat on and funny sunglasses, I'd be like, okay, wait, are we having an identity crisis here? Are we having a branding crisis? Because that's not really you of what I know of you. Okay. So I think there's sometimes trial and error. Like there is no silver bullet to social media. There's really not. That's why there's some things that you try, and hey, sometimes it's a miss. You know, persevering is not a bad thing, and being progressive is not always a bad thing. You have to look at it too of how you would handle that conversation if someone asks you in your network, okay, why did you post that? As long as you posted it and you feel very strong about it and you can back it up, I have no problem with that. That makes sense for you and your personality. So it's this gentle balance. It's this delicate balance between that thought leadership side of Jolly's, you know, very intelligent. She brings this and this in the table, but she also likes to have a good time. Like I have a picture of Jolly, like going like this, kind of having fun. Like, so it's a delicate balance. Let's just put it.
Oh boy. All the secrets are out.
You know which one I'm talking about. You know, I have a picture of you.
So another question that I have is regarding about niche. So not everybody understanding how niche plays into the overall marketing. Could you talk a little bit about niche? And what I mean by that is, you know, by niche, I'm all about business owners, succession planning, but that's very boring. I mean, that's so boring in terms of social media posts. And I hate to talk about the same thing over and over again. I have hundreds and thousands of blog articles out there. that I wrote in the past. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to share them because I just felt like they are so boring. So what could we do in terms of, you know, if someone who has a niche in annuity or in life insurance or in asset under management or any other things in the financial services or planning industry, yep. what should we do in terms of making sure that the message also comes across nicely, but at the same time, not to bore out our audience?
Sure. So I think that goes back to the personalization side of it. So you say business succession, you know, boring per se, whatever. But you have to look at the bigger picture, and especially when it comes down to social media, because there's the human side back to that. So the business succession could be, and I'm making this story up, Jolly. So, you know, you helped a family who had someone who was, you know, coming out of the business, and the younger child wanted to take it over from that stance, or bringing in a family member, or maybe it was someone external. There's probably a story behind that of how that helps them personally. Did it help them keep the house that they wanted? Did it help them, you know, send their grandchildren to college? Did it help keep the family farm? What was the outcome, which is the positive side of it? And that's really what resonates with people from that stance. So even though you might say business succession is annuity, life insurance is boring, annuities are this, assets under management is this, there is always that personal side. So go back to facts, sell, stories tell. So there is got to be a story that goes back into it. And there's got to be that person and that human being on the other side. So that's where I feel like that will help you from that social media side.
So personalize your message. Absolutely. And that personalized message obviously is intentional to target your audience for that. Well, that's why we need an expert like you.
It all just takes time, right? I mean, it you does. Went to school to do the things that you do. I went to school to do the things that I do. And that's why like things like this help other people learn. And I think, you know, one of my biggest qualities that I figured out in the last, gosh, not just figured out, but knew who I was I'm a connector. I love to connect people. So if Jolly needs to find somebody that does that, you better be, you know, I'm going to be that one that's going to deliver on that. But and those are some of the things that kind of come back. You don't have to be perfect at everything. It's okay to, you know, use other people to do some of these things and take a little bit of that. And like you said, add the intern or add whoever it might be. Hire to your weaknesses. That's not a bad thing.
All right. We probably talked about the 80-20 rules throughout that conversation.
Yep.
And I couldn't really help it to stress the point of we all have a busy life, busy day, busy practice, people we have to service. If marketing isn't something that you are good at or you don't enjoy doing, hiring someone to do this is actually worthwhile. And so share with some of the marketing, general marketing, social media. I'm going to give you one example and then you can tell me how that translates into. So a friend of mine who started this clubhouse, well, I was so intrigued by his story. I ended up searching, what is a clubhouse?
Right.
How does people actually do that?
Yep.
So I got a little bit knowledge of it, but this is what he does. He team up with four other people. None of them are in the financial services or financial planning round. And five of them had three podcasts a week. I mean, that's a lot of time, even though it's a 30 minutes per show. So right. three talk shows, 30 minutes each per week. And every week they run that. They've been running it for only about 3 months. Right now they have 2,500 followers. And he is telling me that he can barely keep up with the clients coming to him. All right. So break it down for us. What works in one social media platform and what doesn't work? In this case, he was tailoring to people who is highly educated. All 2,500 followers are either master or PhD in science, medicals, that sort of field. So share with us, what do you think in regarding about that story and what can we take away from that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other social media at the very beginning that showed the platforms. Like you had Facebook, you had LinkedIn, you had Instagram, you had Twitter, and you had Google Plus, which I don't even know if Google Plus is still around. So definitely cross that one off your list. Other things that you know are potential are Twitter. I've been doing a lot of research on Twitter. I have a handle on Twitter, but I'm not really there. But I see my husband, that's where he gets all his news. He wakes up in the morning, the first thing I look at is Facebook and Instagram, or Facebook and LinkedIn, and he's over on Twitter. So, you know, there can be spots for that social media for Twitter. When you look at Instagram is definitely more for the millennial side. So if you're looking for, you know, younger folks that maybe are like I said, just getting married or having babies, there's messaging out there that could be important for them from that stance. So I think you have to kind of pick the platforms that make the most sense for you. You don't have to do everything, and that's okay. It's okay that you don't do everything, but pick something and be really, really good at it. Another thing, Jolly, that we haven't talked about is integrating video with inside right. any of these platforms, because statistically videos are more engaging. You know, they tell a story. People would rather watch something. I mean, look at TikTok and look at Reels on Instagram. You know, real short clips of video blogs are for people that have, you know, ADD, that are like, you know, their brain's like this, kind of like mine. That's what's engaging. So you want to make sure that you add that to the platform. And other things behind that, like when you do it, think about it like, and oh, did I get muted? No, we're still sitting here in a meeting and you are watching it. You want those closed captions to be on there because I still want to see what they're saying. And there's so much technology right now that will do that for you. So if you are posting something, whether it's the 80% of the personal lifestyle side, or if it's the 20% of the more evergreen content, make sure that if you're doing videos, you're using the closed caption side of it.
All right. So let's talk about YouTube, since you mentioned about videos.
Yep.
So we do know that YouTube is probably, this is what I learned recently, the second largest search engine compared to Google, I guess.
And I'd say it's definitely high, yep.
Yeah, and I have known a lot of fee-only advisors or fee-based advisors that they do their own podcast with the YouTube simultaneously launching all at the same time, and they are really, really well done. And I have even have few students who've done it phenomenally, like very professionally. Mm-hmm. So YouTube enabled to gain traction. You mentioned about keywords. Mm-hmm. So can you walk us through how to structure keywords properly? Because in terms of keywords, I'm totally lost.
I don't think you're as lost as you say you are. I really don't, but keep going.
Yeah, but I'm curious about what is some of the best practices in terms sure. of whether or not it's YouTube or podcast. How do we best utilize keywords yeah. so the search engine can pick up those yep. Tidbits?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So my name is Sarah Williams. You can only imagine however many Sarah Williams there are with inside the United States, right? So what differentiates me when I would do, if I did a YouTube channel, would be Sarah E. Williams, i.e. my middle name is Elizabeth, Kansas City, marketing professional, lead generation, social media, you know, anything that can continue on a description, because when we look at social media, the Googles of the world, the Bings of the world, all the search engines are looking for those little keywords that help them identify who you are and where you land when they're searching for you. Okay. So the more that you can get into, if you do a YouTube channel and you have an episode, let's say on YouTube, there's a title of what the episode is called. And it's okay to put episode one, series this or whatever, but I want to know what are you talking about. Then there's actually a description that you can put in there. Again, that's what the search engine is looking for, because unless you have that closed caption, it doesn't know what the titles, and it does not know what that content is. So you want to be very descriptive on the YouTube channels. And you're right, Jolly. I think YouTube is actually above Facebook when it comes to social media. those are the people that you're reaching. So my biggest thing about YouTube is don't just do it to do it. Have a strategy behind it. Because a lot of people will say, yeah, I want to go out there and record a 90 second video or a 30 second video. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to put it? Well, it's on my YouTube channel. Okay, well, how are you driving people to your YouTube channel? Is it on your website? Have you shared it on your LinkedIn? Have you shared it on your Facebook? Do you have an email that goes out to your prospects and your clients letting them know that you have a YouTube channel? Okay, so those are some of the things that I really feel are important if you do that. And I love that if you have a YouTube channel, that you turn that into a podcast. All you do is take the audio files, the MP3, and take that and repurpose it. So it's not just about doing it. It's what's the strategy afterwards.
Again, all the things that I made mistake of.
It's okay. I'm teaching you.
All right. So we've been talking about some great strategies here for the last 45 minutes or so. If there's one advice you would give, what would that be?
So I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think what I can give you the best advice is, as financial planners and as entrepreneurs, as a business owner, you plan your business, right? You sit down and you forecast and you look at goals and you look at how am I going to accomplish that? You really need to do the exact same thing with your social media platforms. You need to spend, and it's up to you. Do you spend 30 minutes a week on it, or do you spend 2 hours a week on it? Where does that lie within your planning process? But set time aside. So my time that I typically look at my social media, I look at my social media all the time, but that's the industry that I'm in. But if I'm telling my financial advisors to work on their social media, I say put aside some of the biggest downtime for me, which is a Friday afternoon between 3 and we get off at 4 o'clock. So then three and four, I'm looking at what does my next week look like and how am I going to plan for my social media? Now it's okay to plan 3 months ahead. That's great. Cause then you just walk in and you know next week exactly what to do, but you have to have a plan. You can't just kind of throw things off the wall and see if it fits. Or if it sticks, you want to have a plan. So my advice to you is to sit down. What are your goals on social media? What platforms are you going to use? And what's your plan? Who's going to do it? Who's going to post those things? Have a plan.
Have a plan, time management, time block to do these things. Fantastic. Thank you so much for such an insightful information. And we're so glad that all of you are here today listening to Sarah Williams about her expertise in marketing. And once again, if you are not like me, you know, or you are like me, where I'm just not very good at marketing, then hire someone to do that. Or if you're really, really good at this, have a strategy in place, have a plan in place, time management, block them out. You will do great in the social media and you will generate lots more leads and ultimately help more clients. So we're so glad to have you today in the Next Gen Mentoring Forum. What an incredible session. I wanted to give a plug into California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning for sponsoring today's Next Gen Mentoring Forum. California Lutheran University School of Management offers MBA in financial planning, helps financial advisors pursue a leadership position to grow their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning techniques, effective communication, and to streamline their practice management. For more information, you can sign up for our info session on September 23rd, 2 p.m. Pacific time for our next session. And for our Next Gen Mentoring Forum session, which is on September 21st, 2021, we will have a financial behavioral expert who bring in billions of dollars for top financial institutes. His name is Joel Franks. We're going to talk about applying financial behaviors to build your wealth. So with that, be safe and be well, and we'll see you the next time. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.